This is Aaron Ra of American Atheists, and you're listening to The Canadian Atheist.
I'm making the assumption that all of you check in every now and then with some kind of news outlet and have a view of what's going on in the rest of the world. Isn't it as plain as could be that those who commit the most callous, the most cruel, the most brutal, the most indiscriminate atrocities of all do so precisely because they believe they have divine permission? Shall I answer my own question? Shall I insult you by adding more? Who can't think of an example of this kind? Let me put the question in another form that I've put in now. Every forum from YouTube to C-SPAN to the wireless to the print to the radio to the television and innumerable forums to those who say that without God there can be no morality. You are to ask yourself two questions. You are to name a moral action undertaken, or a moral and ethical statement made by a believer. I dare say you can do it. You are then to say that you can not imagine a non-believer making this moral statement or undertaking this moral action. Can you think, can you now think, can any of you think, you have, don't have to answer now, you have all night, and you have my email. And I've done this with everyone from the Archbishop of Canterbury to even lower people. You name me the ethical and moral action or statement that a believer can make and an unbeliever cannot, and there's a prize, and I'll tell you that about that later. Now there's a second question. Think of something wicked that only a believer would be likely to do, or something wicked that only a believer would be likely to say. You've already thought of it. The suicide bombing community is entirely religious. The genital mutilation community is entirely religious. I wouldn't say that the child abuse community is entirely religious. I wouldn't. But it's bidding to be entirely religious. It operates on the old Latin slogan, no child's behind left.
Welcome to The Canadian Atheist, a podcast about news, current events, and commentary on all things atheism from a Canadian perspective. Now, if this podcast carries the explicit tag and wears it like a motherfucking badge of honor. So if you get offended, you might want to switch off. The CA records each week live from Apostasy Studios. Why not join in the discussion? Find us on Facebook, email us at theca@rogers.com, or follow us on the old Twitter machine at @the_CA_podcast. If we're amused or tweaked by your stuff, we just might even use it on the show. And now, here are Michael and Dean.
All right, here we go. Welcome to CA. Today is Friday, August 28th, 2020. I am Michael.
I am Dean.
How's it going, brother?
Good.
Yeah. This is becoming like a regular thing now. One of the hard parts is, it's so amazing to have guests on, and we have a guest tonight. It's so amazing to have guests on, but it's really hard because now on my desk, which you can't see, which is kind of off to the side, well, you wouldn't be able to see anyway because this is the podcast, right? But just off to the side is a stack of dumb shit creationists have been saying for a few weeks, and we haven't gotten to cover any of it because we've been talking to people. So we're going to have to get on that. We're going to have another episode sooner rather than later so we can cover all that shit. Let's get to tonight. And tonight...
Without further ado.
Yeah, without further ado. Joining us today for a second time is a man that, if you're an atheist, you've heard of him. And like me, you respect the work that he's done, which is a lot. He is the... I was just informed... prior to hitting the record button, the former Southwest Regional Director for American Atheists, still a representative, an official representative for American Atheists, but title to be determined. So we're just going to maybe Grand Poobah or something like that. Former president of Atheist Alliance International, the author of Foundational Falsehoods of Creationism, the director of the Phylogeny Explorer Project, science educator, destroyer of bullshit creationist arguments. And as if that wasn't enough, because he didn't have enough on his plate, he decided to add student to that. Consumer of all things spicy that make my asshole pucker. Aaron, welcome back to The Canadian Atheist.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. Can you see me? Is my camera not on?
I cannot see you. Your camera is currently not active, sir.
Why is my camera not on?
I don't know. There you are.
There you are.
There we are.
Oh, well. Don't beautiful. Know what's up with that. All right.
Shit happens. Okay.
It's funny that you called me Grand Poobah because when I became a grandfather, my daughter asked me what title did I want. You know, not everybody, when I grew up, everybody's grandfather was called Grandpa, but then I found out that other parts of the country, they have different words, you know, Meemaw, Papaw, and, you know, words like that. So I decided that my title as grandfather should be Poobah.
Okay. Hey, does that count as prophecy? I don't know. I don't know.
I think you can put that under any category you want.
Okay. There's so much to talk about. And the one thing I am going to mention, just for our audience, and hey, thanks everybody for listening. There he is. So just before we hit the record button, I was saying to Aaron that, it's funny, at least funny for me, probably not so much for him, but, there was a little while back, he was having a discussion, as he typically does online, with some wackadoo young earth creationist. And just after putting the exclamation point on the sentence, his bird called out to him. And it's so funny because I've heard it so many times, and it's, you know, Arn, and I bust out laughing. I'm cackling my ass off, and Arn just rolled his eyes. And then Falkor goes at it just like you heard. How many animals have you got in there?
We've had two relatively quiet dogs for a long time. And then we got this one.
Of each.
Yeah. And this one sets everybody off.
Right.
If I'm trying to sleep in the morning and somebody comes by canvassing and rings the doorbell or knocks on the door, it will be pandemonium as this one will go off and then the other ones will go off in unison and they all have. Can you see him running past me?
We can.
Yep. Yeah. There's not so much a disturbance in here. Like Finn, our dog's downstairs with Shannon, my wife, and surrounding me here, I've got, as Dean can attest, I've got terrarium set up, and I've got four pythons. But
snakes aren't really that bad for making noise.
Yeah, they tend. People will ask me sometimes. You know, it's like, what's it like having snakes? I'm like, well, they don't come to the door when you get home, but they never wake you up in the middle of the night either. So it's a bit of a trade-off.
Well, you hope they don't wake you up in the middle of the night.
Well, they're only ball pythons, so they're not.
I've had a few snakes, and the funny thing is that every snake I've ever had has managed to find its way out of its cage. Wow! I had one lost in my house for 4 months.
Wow!
And yeah, what kind 4 months, of snake and we was finally this? You know happened across it again. But every snake, of whatever type, has gotten out of the house and been discovered later.
Wow.
And so one night I ended up with a Mojave Diamondback that somebody had struck somebody and got its teeth stuck in their backpack.
Okay.
So yeah, so it couldn't let, the snake couldn't let go.
Right, because those are hinged fangs, right? So yeah.
He took off the backpack, took the snake off the backpack and put it in a burlap sack and left it in his car.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Because his intention was to skin it. Well, the thing was that I found out that he'd had the snake in his car for 3 months.
Wow.
You left a snake in your car in a bag for 3 months? So I just kind of freaked out about that. I went to go check. Sure enough, the snake is in a bag in his car, and it's still alive.
Wow.
So I took it. I wrote the guy off as an asshole. I put it in an aquarium, not sure what to do with it.
Right.
So now I have a rather large, angry, obviously irritated diamondback rattlesnake in an aquarium, 10-gallon aquarium, right, in my house.
Yeah. Luckily, Mojaves don't get too big.
Yeah. But having the past experience that I did, I not only had the lid on it, you know, and I mean, I had water in the aquarium already. I had a hamster in the aquarium already. Right. Before I put the snake in. And then I put the top on and like piled books and stuff on it just to make sure. And then guarded the area so that nobody gets around it. I only had it in the house one day because, as I said, you know, this past history.
Sure. Yeah.
And I don't want this thing loose in my house. And the upsetting thing was, well, that I found out that according to Texas law, it is illegal to do anything with a snake once you have it in your custody other than kill it.
Yeah.
That's legally all you can do.
Wow.
You can't legally turn it loose. You can't legally keep it. You can't. So I'm breaking the law by trying to save its life.
Yeah.
Because I live in a state that has fucked up laws.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. It's the same as now. Now, mind you, it's an invasive species, but it's the same way with Burmese pythons now in Florida. You if you catch one, you must euthanize it. And now, mind you, that's an invasive species. It's wreaking havoc on the ecosystems in Florida, so I kind of get that.
Yeah.
And that was just because, you know, half a dozen assholes 25 years ago said, oh, I don't want this anymore. It's too big. And let them go. So, yeah, I wouldn't want a Mojave loose in my house either, especially if you got four-legged friends running around, because you'll have less four-legged friends running around.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I had a gopher snake in my house once upon a time. That gopher snake, bull snake, I'm not sure which.
They're actually the same species. They're just different names for them.
They do have a different species name, and there's a size difference.
Oh, okay.
So you get one young, it's difficult to tell.
Oh, okay.
But a bull snake can get 6 to 8 feet long, whereas a gopher snake is limited to 4 feet.
Well, I think I'm thinking of pine snake and gopher snake. Maybe that's the difference.
Perhaps. I mean, those are. I forget what they call them.
They're all colubrids.
That's it. That's the word I was looking for. Colubrid snakes, where they're just like a junk taxon, where you put in all your rat snakes, milk snakes, corn snakes, gopher snakes, all of that.
Yep.
And just put them all in one category. But this thing got loose, and it was loose for like 4 days, and can't find it. Finally find it in the closet. And I go, oh, there's my snake. And I go to grab him, and he does the thing where he starts smacking his tail against the wall while he's posing up as a rattlesnake, and he's rattling by beating his tail against the wall. And now I have to second guess myself. I've handled this snake a whole lot, you know, in the few days that I had it when I originally caught it, because I would catch them wild and bring them home because I was a big, stupid kid. And now I have this thing rattling at me, and I'm like, did I bring home a rattlesnake and not realize it?
Yeah. It's just trying to scare you. Yeah.
Well, it impressed me because it was doing a good job.
Okay, so we'll jump into first. So Aaron, for everyone who doesn't know who Aaron is, he's got a little YouTube channel. I say little. He's got when I looked just the other day, he's got just under 250,000 subscribers to that, which is very cool. And the one thing
nothing about Aaron is little.
Yeah, exactly. Well, having stood side by side with him and had a picture taken with him when he was up here for a CFI event, yeah, he's you are head and shoulders taller than I am. So that's that's interesting.
And it's a funny thing that a lot of times people meet me and they say that they think I would be taller.
Taller than you are.
Yeah.
Like what are you, 6'5"?
No.
Really?
I'm 6'1".
Really?
But everybody expects me to be 6'5".
Oh, maybe I'm just shrinking in my old age.
That is an awesome mug, by the way.
Thank you. My daughter bought this for me recently.
That's very cool. That's very cool. So one of the things I'm going to say, like I always say, is we don't try to monetize this thing that we do at all in any way, shape, or form. But I'm going to ask you to do the same thing I ask everybody else to do, and that is go and check out Aaron's YouTube, and you can go to patreon.com/AaronRaw. I believe it's all one word, correct?
Yes, on my channel name it is.
And support him there. And the reason I'm going to say that is because of one of the things that I introduced Aaron as, and that's a science educator. And science educator in Texas is almost an oxymoron, except when you look at the things that Aaron does. And on his Patreon, he has some great stuff. He has some patron only content. It wasn't a patron only, but your conversation with Martin from a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I did another one today.
Oh, okay.
But there was a response to that one.
That one was.
I did the one with Martin where he wanted to say that religion can be good.
Yeah.
And I was asking him how a God belief can be good. And I was not satisfied in the end of our conversation that he justified that. But somebody else came in to say that, well, religion can be good. So we held a follow-up conversation of that type. And again, I wasn't satisfied. Religion can be good as long as you don't believe it. is what it came down to.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Martin's story was horrifying to hear the things that he went through. So definitely, everybody listening, go and check that out. And then one of the other things that was interesting, you had a conversation with Arjuna on is the mind material, and it's interesting. You've been having a lot of these mind conversations lately. How did that come about?
Somebody invited me to do a debate a month or two ago on whether the soul exists.
Oh, that was Hernandez, right?
Yeah, and I wouldn't have taken that invitation at all, except the way that they pitched it to me, sold it to me. Is there evidence of a soul?
Right.
Now, if they come and said, we want you to debate, does the soul exist? I would have denied that because it's ambiguous, it's muddy. I wanted there to be a topic that we could actually show.
Sure.
You know, where someone can actually win that discussion. And phrased that way, does the soul exist? It's kind of meaningless.
Right.
We can't even get anybody to agree on a definition of what a soul is.
Yeah. I agree that it's
not going to do it.
Yeah. It's so subjective.
Yeah. And so the way they pitched it was, is there evidence of a soul? And I said, I would agree to it only on the condition that that the word evidence must be scientific evidence, because Eric Hernandez had argued with me before that there was evidence of God, but he said it was subjective evidence, which by definition is only evidence to him.
Sure.
It's not evidence to me or anybody else.
It's nothing but an anecdote.
Right. So, I mean, if it's subjective evidence, then you call it evidence. I don't have to call it evidence. I'm still justified in saying that there is no evidence.
Right.
So if we're going to go with scientific evidence, good. Way to go. Now, that wasn't the debate that Eric actually wanted, and he said that he didn't change it. He said that whoever asked me was the one that changed it by giving me a pitch that was inviting and then changing it to something else, but that was what, you know, he never intended that. But the follow-up one, the one from Arjuna, was essentially that same argument. Is there scientific evidence of the soul, but phrased, is the mind material, means essentially the same thing.
Right. Right. Okay. And so you've had a few of these discussions now, and it takes me into the next thing I want to talk about, which is your Why Do You Believe series, which is really interesting. So again, everyone, when you go check out Arn's channel, I'm sure a lot of you already are subscribed to it. But just in case those of you who are living under a rock haven't yet, just go onto YouTube, check it out. There's just a ton of great shit. Everything from him, you know, laying a beat down on people like Kent Hovind, is your conversation with Psy up there?
No, that was done on the Dogma Debate show.
Right, that was Dogma Debate.
Yeah, and Dogma Debate sold out to a parent company, and I don't think that any of their archive shows exist anymore. I could be wrong.
Wow.
But I was told that those old shows weren't going to be archived anymore.
That sucks, because one of the things that I liked about the old Dogma Debate stuff was when you and Rachel were on.
I hear that a lot.
Because you would have these great science conversations, and not to talk poorly about someone who can't defend themselves on this particular podcast, but you did kind of leave David in the lurch in that way. I mean, the lurch, that's the wrong word to say, but you left him kind of behind in that way, because you and Rachel could talk. And talk intelligently, so much so that I'm sure a lot of the listeners like me kind of went glossy, going, what the fuck did he just say? And then listening back.
That is not intentional.
No, of course not. But but it was almost like you had, what's a good term to use? It's almost like you had like thought boners, where you were going back and forth with really cool thoughts and ideas about stuff. And you could tell that the chemistry between you and Rachel was really good. About that.
I remember listening to a conversation that reminded me of listening to two scientists talking to each other on a YouTube video. I wish I could remember which one it was, but it struck me that I'm listening to Dr. Scott from Star Trek having a technobabble session with Doctor Who.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the way your conversations used to sound. It would be too bad if all that stuff is lost. I hope that's not the case. Speaking of Psy, I have, I don't know whether you're going to find this. You probably won't take any joy in this, but have you ever watched the YouTube channel, The Gospel Truth?
I was on it.
Were you? I don't know that I saw that one.
And yeah, that was the debate between me and Eric Hernandez, and I had a fun conversation with the host because he gave an advertisement for an upcoming event. He said that there was going to be this other debate on this other topic, and he says where one of the debaters is a Mormon and the other one is a Christian.
Oh yeah, sure, okay.
And
yeah.
I had to jump into that because I was raised by Mormons. They think they're Christian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so if you ask a Mormon, are you Christian? They'll say, yeah. But if you ask some Protestant or Baptist, they'll say, no, the Mormon's not Christian. Well, how do you know? Exactly. And they didn't like that question. They didn't like being posed that question. How can you arbitrarily say, as they did, that Catholics are not Christian? Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations. If Catholics aren't Christian and they represent over half of all Christians of all denominations combined, over half of them are Catholic. So if Catholics aren't Christian, that means, and Christians consist of everybody but Catholics. Let's say you lump the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the Seventh-day Adventists and all of those other, put them all in the same category. Be just really inclusive of everybody but Catholics. That still means that Christianity is the fourth largest religion, not the first.
Oh, yeah, for sure, without question.
That would make Islam the dominant faith worldwide. And the second largest religion would be Hinduism. The third largest religion would be Catholicism. And Christianity would be the fourth.
Wow. Yeah. Dean, did you have something to say? I haven't shut up yet.
No. I was going to ask when we were talking about Kent and Cy, when you mentioned their names, I was going to ask Aaron what he thinks of those two people, because I think Kent is being genuinely dishonest. But I don't think Cy is.
I don't think Cy is sane. So I could leave it at that. Kent is definitely deliberately, willfully dishonest.
Yes.
I mean, he has been corrected over and over and over again on some of the straw men's that he used, like, you know, that evolution teaches that we evolved from rocks.
Yeah.
Right? Which No evolutionary text ever said that, nor is it even permitted.
And he keeps saying it.
Yeah, but he keeps saying it. And he will never correct himself because he's a narcissistic fiend. He cannot correct himself. Mm. All he can do is profess his superiority and insult his adversaries. And that's it.
Yep. Yeah.
He can declare his own citations. He cites himself on his erroneous definitions where he says stellar nucleosynthesis theory and Big Bang theory and what was it, abiogenesis and a couple of other things. He says they were all part of evolutionary theory, even though each of the scientists that came up with these other things either existed before Darwin or rejected evolution.
Yeah.
Rudolf Virchow, who came up with the concept of abiogenesis, was a pioneer in cell biology, who did not agree with evolution, and he was an atheist, which is weird. But he objected to evolution. He said it was impossible. He said transitional species would never be found and things like that. So yet he's proposing abiogenesis as the basis of all life. How can you tell Rudolf Virchow that he's just created a part of a theory that he hates?
Well, I guess you can.
The same thing with the Big Bang, the same thing with nuclear, stellar nuclear, why can I not say this? Stellar nucleosynthesis. That was Fred Hoyle. Fred Hoyle hated evolution. Fred Hoyle was an atheist who was effectively a creationist because he believed in millions of individual creation events to create new hydrogen atoms.
Mm.
And he kept arguing for some facet of intelligent design.
Yeah.
That's strange.
Yeah.
I found that interesting.
To be an atheist and, you know, promote intelligent design.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like.
But again, he comes up with his theory for how the different elements formed, and to say to tell him that his theory is now part of evolution. He would be rolling over in his grave if he weren't already barking mad.
Yeah. So getting back to the gospel truth, did you? I with your crazy schedule, you probably didn't have the opportunity. But Armin Navabi was on. And he was having a conversation with Cy. And it was during that discussion, it was at the very start of it, that Cy dropped an absolute bombshell. It made my jaw drop open. Cy's moving to Texas. He's actually there now.
Okay.
And he is applying for his visa to stay there because he wants to be, I think the wording he used was he wants to be in the battleground.
So that's why I'm here.
So what's in, you know, Canada's loss is your gain.
Is what I'm trying to say. My gain. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for putting it that way. Yeah. My wife, however, wants to move someplace blue.
Okay.
She really wants to be out of the, you know, the super deep red.
but it looks like Texas has a chance of switching blue for 2020.
It's slim. And when you get into the countryside out here, I could just describe my neighborhood. I mean, there are white supremacists all up and down my street. You know, I've got skinheads on my street.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's very red here. I mean, I ran for public office in this state.
Right.
And in the course of that, I found out how many like KKK collections or concentrations we had in my district.
Wow.
And I was alarmed. Yeah. I never understood why these people exist. I mean, I'm perfectly comfortable as a cisgendered white man. I don't have any problem with being who I am, you know. And I suppose if I didn't feel that I should be, then there would be a kind of dysphoria that I would have to. I don't know what that's like because I'm cool with who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't. I'm glad that my genetic ancestry, you know, includes Norsemen predominantly, because that's the way I always thought. You know, if it turned out that I was, you know, Polish or Italian or something like that, and, you know, I guess I would be disappointed because I'd always been conditioned to expect by my Norse last name that that would, you know, but the name of my birth was like Norwegian. And so I would always expected that I would be of Viking descent. And if it turned out to be any different than what I thought, I guess I'd be disappointed by that. But I can't see being proud of my ancestry as if that was a personal achievement.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You played no role in this.
I did fuck all.
Yeah.
To be who I am. You know, I mean, as far as that, as far as my race, my orientation and all these sorts of things, there was no effort that I had to put into that. I just got lucky in that I'm happy with the cards I was dealt.
Yeah.
I think they're all very confused. They don't exactly know what they think or what they feel, and they're threatened by their own feelings.
Yeah, I was talking to a trans person about this a year or so ago, and I remember saying, I just wish that there was a way that they could be as comfortable with who they are as I am, because it leaves me with the inability to understand their plight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And why can't they be comfortable with other people being the way they are?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the weird thing.
It has no impact
about being anti-trans or anti-gay or whatever. Why do you care? Yeah. or put it more appropriately, why should I care?
Yep. Yeah. No, it's exactly right. I've said lots of times, you know, it's like if you don't want to have gay sex, you totally shouldn't have gay sex. You know,
it's same thing with the same sex marriage and the abortion debate and everything like that. Why do you care?
Yeah.
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 But I've actually nothing to do with you.
A Christian very close to me, somebody in my own family, told me that she feels oppressed as a Christian, that she is oppressed when she's not allowed to impose her religious beliefs onto other people who don't believe the way she does.
She's oppressed. Yeah.
She is oppressed by not being allowed to oppress other people.
That's like saying I can't exercise my freedom because I can't punch you in the face.
Something like that, yeah.
You know, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay. So with this, here's another question for you. Is it fair to say, or am I missing the mark here? Is the Why You Believe series and now the Quran series that you're doing that I want to talk about in a second,
uploaded another podcast as this show began.
Right.
I hit upload on because I was just working on Surah 12.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'm very much enjoying the exploration of the Quran. I think this is the right way to do that. To explain to anybody who doesn't know, if you were just to pick up a Quran and read it, as a Westerner, if you're raised in, if you were raised immersed in Christianity, you were raised in the United States to a Christian family, you're not going to understand anything in the Quran.
Yep, fair.
It's just not, except where the Quran steals stories from the Bible. And even those, it changes so many details that you might not even recognize. I was looking at one today where I recognized, okay, this is Joseph, son of Jacob. Is it the same Joseph, son of Jacob? Because it seems different. And it is different. But you know, it's talking about the same people. What I did was I don't just read the Quran the way, you know, somebody would buy a Quran. Somebody was gave me a Quran. I was in Dubai. I was in the United Arab Emirates, and somebody gave me a hard copy of the Quran. And had I just sat down and read it, it would have made no sense.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. So when you were starting this journey, we spoke on Facebook Messenger a little bit, and I reached out to one of my friends who did the same thing to me. He gave me a Quran. I went to his mosque when he still lived in Ontario. He's since moved out to Alberta, but went to his mosque, stuff like that. And I spoke with him, asking him if he'd be willing to speak to you, and he revealed to me that he was losing his faith a little bit, and that he didn't feel comfortable talking about it because he was afraid the wrong people might hear what he had to say. And so that's why I can
understand that.
Yeah. And so I sat and read portions of the Quran with him, and I tried to read it myself. I ended up getting it on audiobook, which was a little easier to understand than actually trying to read it, because it was just, it was a little too far out there. But when I actually sat down and read it with him, and then because he was born in Palestine, so he speaks fluent Arabic. And so he said, oh, this is what it's actually saying as we're going through these little bits and pieces. And it was, yeah, it was eye-opening. This is to a much lesser degree than the in-depth, than the really deep dive that you've done. And so, again, I encourage everybody to go to YouTube and check out these things.
I want to explain what makes it a deep dive. Is that I'm not just reading the Quran as translated by Abd al-Halim. I'm comparing that through the magic of the internet. I'm comparing that with Quran.com, with Clear Quran, with Noble Quran, with a number of other sources, as well as the tafsirs. And the tafsirs will give sometimes explanations as to what these things mean. Sometimes, not always. Unfortunately, very often when I have questions, the tafsirs don't provide that. And so I have to go and just glean what I can from comparisons of the different translations, because sometimes they use very different words. Mm-hmm. And in one case, I wish I could remember what the specific example was. I had to read five different translations to understand what I had just said, or what this one paragraph said. I had to read five different translations to get what it was talking about.
Yeah.
Yep. So now after you do this, and I can't be bothered with the hadiths, because you can't understand the Quran until you understand the hadiths. And there are unnumbered thousands or tens of thousands. No one can be sure how many hadiths there are. Well, that means that nobody anywhere understands the Quran. And some places will admit that. So like, well, you go to some Quran sites like Noble Quran or whatever, and they will say, they will admit that nobody knows why this surah and this other surah begin with Alif, Lam, Ra, the Arabic letters. Why do they begin with that? Why do these other two surahs begin with these other four or five letters? Nobody knows. And this is just one of the miracles of Quran, that nobody knows this.
Right.
So then, because I'm reading English translations, I then have to speak to somebody who was not only raised in Islam and who understands the interpretations, and I'll get to that in a moment, but also who speaks Arabic.
Yeah.
So they understand other ways of translating this thing for me. And then I try to get different people on so that, you know, like the kind of the more the merrier to explain to me, because they are going to come up with different interpretations. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as what interpretations are built in, if you were raised in Pakistan and you were raised Sikh, for example, fifth largest religion in the world, you come to the United States and you pick up a Bible and you read it. You would have absolutely no idea that the serpent is supposed to be Satan.
Right, sure, yeah.
Because the Bible does not say that. And not only does it not say that, it doesn't imply that, it doesn't allow that.
No, you have to logically, glean, you have to glean that off. You have to interpret that for yourself.
You're told that that's what that means, but the Bible doesn't say it, doesn't imply it, doesn't allow it. because it contradicts other things said elsewhere in the Bible. So the serpent can't be Satan.
Well, no, but especially when Satan is walking. At one point, he's after God apparently curses him to be on his belly forever. He's walking with him later on.
And the very first time chronologically after that story where God and Satan have never had a falling out.
Right.
Where Satan is like God's best man.
Yeah, it was like a cherub or something. I forget exactly. Or, you know, Lucifer, yeah, the light bringer. And then when he apparently takes Jesus up to the top of a mountain so he can see the whole world. Well, did he go, you know, snakes going up, you know, snake going up the side of the mountain?
yeah. Yeah, and then Jesus also referred to the Pharisees as both a den of vipers and the sons of Satan. But he wasn't meaning that they were literally snakes. And so people will always point me to Revelations, I think 9, maybe not 9, I can't remember, but to where it says Satan, that old serpent. That, yeah, but it doesn't mean that old serpent.
Yeah.
Read the rest of it. That old serpent standing on the beach with seven heads.
Yeah, seven heads and seven eyes and all that. Yeah.
I would think that a serpent in the Garden of Eden that had seven heads would be worthy of mention.
Would have stood. It would have stood.
Maybe
out.
Not such a trustworthy guy.
Yeah.
But here's the beautiful thing: the Lord of Lies is the only character in Genesis. What is it? 3 through 2 to 5. I forget who spoke the truth. Only he's the only one who did not lie. Adam, Eve, God, all lied. God lied.
But a Christian would say that they did, because they say, oh, you know, did you say you did God tell you that you would die? Certainly you won't die. You'll be like God, knowing good from evil. And they'll try to spin that as a deception.
God told him one thing would happen, and then when they did the thing, he didn't respond the way he said he would. He gave a completely different set of things that he didn't lay out before. He changed the rules.
You got to stick to your rules. Everybody knows that.
And he proved that the serpent was right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the worst thing Satan ever did? Technically, it would be in the story of Job. Satan did kill a handful of people at God's command.
That's right. Yeah.
And then God used the excuse that the devil made me do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because God made a bet with Satan, and it didn't involve violin playing, but it did involve screwing over somebody that worshiped and loved God, because God is a dick.
Yeah, I think in Foundational Falsehoods of Creationism, you referred to that as the first recorded use of the Nuremberg defense.
Satan, otherwise, the only thing that Satan ever did that was wrong, ever, was try to reason against faith.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure. Okay, so.
I always like the line, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Yeah. It worked. Yeah,
that one bugs me.
So, has the reading of the Quran and the why do you believe, has that been a natural evolution, for lack of a better term, of the Ramen podcast? Like, has it kind of moved in that?
No. The Ramen podcast has, you're talking about three different things with different motives. The why do you believe is because I don't ever want to be in an echo chamber.
Right.
When people disagree with me, I want to have that disagreement, and I want to give them an opportunity to change my mind. Now, I'm not going to entertain everybody. There are certain people who have already tried and failed and showed that they were not worthy. But every now and then I'll get an email from somebody who seems sincere. And I have to make the judgment on whether I think you seem sincere. I'm not going to entertain trolls. I'm not going to entertain professional liars. Sure. I have to think that you have to sell it to me that I think that you really believe what you're saying, and sincerely that you believe that, and that you're going to give an honest presentation, not just being a dick or a troll. So I can't say whether I'm going to accept every invitation that I get in email. But with the Ramen podcast is that I see an awful lot of negativity on the web. It's very easy to complain about people. It's very easy to find fault in anything.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the motto of the show is that everybody can complain and anybody can complain and everybody does.
Yeah.
But I want to talk to people who not only have a positive spin on what can be done, but are already working toward it so that it's not just talk. You know, I want to talk to people who are actively taking part in trying to make things better. So I want to focus on or spotlight or highlight people making some positive difference in the world.
Cool. Okay. What else did I want to talk about? Okay. So the Phylogeny Explorer project, how is that going? So you should explain what that is, because
I'm terribly frustrated with it at the moment because it is out of my hands in that it's being revamped by database engineers and I have no idea what they're talking about.
Oh,
I have no, the computer programming technology, I don't understand any of it. Some months ago, a handful of, to give you an idea, it is an attempt to render the entire taxonomic tree of life as a navigable online encyclopedia of biodiversity. And
a very cool idea. Problems with,
we're trying to change a number of things about it so that you can look at tiny snippets or windows, which is one of the problems is we're it's the only database where you can zoom in on a part of the tree and you can zoom out to see the whole frickin' thing in ridiculous detail. But there are, if you go to Wikipedia will show you nice little snapshots with little like little icons of things that belong in this category. And you'll just see this little bit and you can copy this little bit and it'll might make the point that you want to make. We can't do that yet because we have the whole fucking thing. And it's enormous. Now, right now we've managed over the last few years with a couple dozen volunteers, we've managed to put in some 70,000 taxa. And right now what they're trying to do is to change the whole system so that they can pull in millions of taxa from peer-reviewed resources from a few different ones, things that would take us another 5 years to put in manually. And we want to have peer-reviewed status because we want the site to have value. Now, there are discrepancies. There are different interpretations. We're accounting for that. We found ways that we can show when there is an alternative perspective. We're going to go with whichever one is the most recent and the best supported. And we have to make the determinations on that. And we've devised the database, which this is our fourth database that we've had to work on because the volume gets so big that previous incarnations have collapsed.
So is the bottleneck at Noah or Adam and Eve?
Just based on what I do, it sounds like you need to go to the cloud to build this database. it'll just get bigger as you go, as you need.
Yeah, as I understand it now that we're working on multiple servers.
Yeah.
So my job was to find funding. My job was to find expertise to get it done, to get it built. But the thing is it's never going to be done.
Mm.
And so now I have...
It's like evolution. Never actually
done. Yeah. Exactly. And evolution, coincidentally, is the reason why it'll never be done. But I do want it to be a valuable tool, not just for teachers and students, but also for the sciences themselves. And so there has to be where you can take those little snapshots of the windows, of the one little zoom in part, and have it be where you can make sense of it. And there are... I've talked to a few database engineers working on my team who say that we can do this. It's just going to be a hell of a lot of work. And it's not been offline. It has been available. People can see it. People can still navigate it. But there's a number of features we're trying to build into it so that it'll make sense to people who aren't scientists.
Right.
Because otherwise you're in a massive spider web 16 miles wide. And at normal spider web links... But, you know, the spider web is 16 miles wide. So where are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a number of features we're trying to build in so that people don't get lost in it. And so people can make sense of it. And so that it can be educational.
All right. Speaking of education, how's that going? How's that going for you? And tell people about what I'm sure a lot of people have already heard. But, you decided you weren't busy enough. So you say, hey, let's go get a degree.
Yeah, I've gone to college, I don't know, four times so far. And mostly in my youth, I was an art major because of an idiot. I was an idiot. I didn't realize that, you know, nobody ever became a professional artist by going to school for it. They did it by doing the work.
Sure.
You know, and but again, I was in my 20s, so I didn't do work. I went to school instead.
Right.
And at some point, my interest changed to the sciences. And it was, oddly enough, when I was an art student at one point, I was studying fine art, I think on my second attempt at college, and I took an evolution class. And that was one of the, but back then, believe it or not, I was advocating for intelligent design.
Okay.
Before the term intelligent design had been adopted by the Discovery Institute. I mean, back then I thought that there was like a pantheistic goal toward evolutionary developments. Okay. Again, I was in my 20s. I experimented with a number of different types of spiritualism before I, hopefully, pulling my head on my ass. Right. I say hopefully because we never really realize when it's up there.
So when you took the evolution class, that sparked your interest? And
I already understood evolution. That was the funny thing. I was using intelligent design as that evolution was being directed some way. Mm. So I accepted evolution happened. I thought it was happening with a goal. Mm. And oddly enough, it was one of the classes that I was taking, an advanced biology class for science majors, when I realized there's no room for this soul thing that I was thinking of, that I thought existed. There really isn't a need for it. There isn't a place for it.
Yeah, it's like Hitchens writes in God Is Not Great when he's talking about the 16th century scientist Laplace, when he goes to show his model to Napoleon. And apparently Napoleon says, you know, where's God in this? And he says, well, you know, my lord, it appears to work without that assumption. You know, we don't need that. It turns out this whole thing just seems to work okay by itself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
You mentioned my debate with Eric Hernandez. That was pretty much what was established.
Right.
Is, yeah, the soul is whatever you want to believe is still there, even when you know it doesn't have to be.
Right. So how has the current state of the world, how has COVID affected you from an educational perspective? I mean, obviously you just switched to online, right? Everything, you know.
Yeah. And that has been to my advantage.
Oh, okay.
My wife, for example, just got her master's degree in science writing from Johns Hopkins.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You posted about that on Facebook. You were out for a celebratory dinner.
Yeah. Yes.
That's right.
Two of my kids got their Associates of Science and Bachelor of Science degrees, respectively. And one of my kids was actually attending school in a physical college, but was thankful that they changed everything to online classes.
Right.
And the other one, again, same thing. We all would have ended up with COVID if they'd stayed in physical classes, but suddenly they're home. Mm-hmm. Taking everything online.
Hang on, but what about that woman who was going to church that said she was covered in the blood of Jesus, so she was okay? Surely not her.
Yeah, look at all of the people who thought they were immune because of their magic imaginary friend.
Yeah, it's...
I never wish ill on people, but people that drive around saying I'm covered in the blood of Jesus or, you know, God is my cure or whatever, I want them all to get it.
Yeah,
have you noticed... Badly. And you notice what a great excuse that is. Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston were in trial for some, I don't remember what the hell the crime was, but Bobby Brown is declaring that he's like above these proceedings and immune to them. It doesn't matter what the judge says. It doesn't matter whether the judge rules against him or not, because Bobby Brown is going, I'm soaked in the blood. I'm soaked in the blood. The fuck does that even mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you get to pretend that you're not a part of this world. That if you're fined or you're jailed, you're actually going to have to pay that or do that time.
Yeah, and then take a shower to get the blood off you.
reality will always come in and check them for saying stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's funny. Shannon has she's kind of tapped out. you know, all yeah. these people that have said, oh, you know, I'm okay. This is okay. She's like, okay. She's like, I'm out. Just get it already. And then talk to me. Like she's got that kind of outrage fatigue at this point where she's like, I'm fucking done with you guys. You know, if you think you're so immune, then, you know, just go lick somebody's face that, you know, has COVID and we'll see how that works out for you. I added the last part.
To me that people have forgotten that, okay, the reason that surgeons wear surgical masks in surgery is not because they think they're going to get sick from your insides getting up their nose.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying not to infect you through your open wounds with their breath.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, that's what that's about. It's not about protecting yourself. When you put on a mask, you're trying to protect other people from your spittle, your breath. Yeah. Why do people understand that when it's surgery, but forget about it when it's viruses? If viruses are something you can pretend don't exist, because Jesus didn't know what a fucking virus was. Jesus thought it was caused by demons.
Yeah. Go ahead, finish.
And that means that people that believe in Jesus can also pretend that it's caused by demons. And they can pretend that it's a hoax done by the reptilian aliens who have now taken human form and are in control of the Illuminati.
Right. It's funny. There was something on the news not too long ago, and it was this report that it was the most frustrated I had ever seen my wife. And my wife's one of the smartest people I know. She's just ridiculously smart. And she said, and she just kind of put her head in her hands. I'm like, what? What is it, babe? And she said, there's this report that people are freaking out over wearing masks because they're afraid of inhaling too much carbon dioxide. And then she put her phone, she was reading it on the phone. She put her phone down and she said, this doesn't affect, and just to what you just said, this doesn't affect the doctors when they're in their operating room. She said, if that was the case, these surgeons that go from surgery back to back to back to back surgery that are, you know, they're in their operating room for 10 hours a day or something like that. She said, they'd be the dumbest people on the planet because all their brain cells would be dead from inhaling so much carbon dioxide. And I thought she was going to throw her phone across the room. She was so angry at it. It's truly.
So, how do you feel when you go to a checkout counter, like in your grocery store or something, and whoever's there is wearing a mask because they have to, because their boss told them to, but they're wearing it under their nose?
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah.
It's like, do you wear your dick hanging out of your pants?
Yeah.
You have a legal requirement that you have to wear pants. Does that mean your dick can hang out?
Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of defeats the point, right? When you let your dick hang out. Yeah, it definitely defeats the point of having your nose stick out. I've had to explain this to a number of people, and I'll explain it again here. If I have a mask on and you don't, then if you are infected, I have a 70% chance. With my mask on, I have a 70% chance of being infected by you. And that's assuming that I'm just conducting business over the counter for a moment.
Yeah.
At a reasonable distance away, right? I have a 70% chance of being infected by you. If I'm infected, I have the mask, I'm infected and you're not, you only have a 30% chance of being infected by me. So your chances are better if I'm wearing a mask. If we're both wearing a mask, it drops to 1%.
Yeah.
Now think about that added up to herd mentality or herd immunity. If we all got on board with the fucking masks, we could have beaten this thing in 2 weeks, 4 months ago.
I know it's interesting. And one of the things that I posed, I was having a conversation with someone on Twitter, which is never a good idea. But
I am sick to death of Twitter.
Yeah,
I'm so close to closing my account. I have to use Facebook because in my business, I need Facebook for networking.
Yeah.
But Twitter is just as cesspool.
Yeah. And so I was having this conversation with someone and I said, so I decided to go all biblical on them. And I quoted, I think it's Mark 12, 30 and 31. You know, it says, the two main commandments, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, yada, yada, yada. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm like, from a Christian perspective, what could be more Christian than wearing a mask to protect everybody else? And the irony and the irony is this nation with a secular constitution, unlike Canada, who recognizes the supremacy of Almighty God in the third line of ours, we've managed to get on board with this, and yet the most Christian country I think in the history of humanity is still like, but I don't want to because me.
Yeah, my privilege.
Yeah,
I don't want to be responsible for this. This sums up all of conservatism. I don't want to be held responsible to any laws. That's libertarians. I don't want to be responsible for other people. I don't want to be responsible. I want to do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah.
That's what it, and I ain't going to change anything.
Yeah.
So when you find out that, you know, how like environmental issues are, environmental impact, the carbon input that we're putting into the planet, when you figure that out and you realize that, hey, if everybody were to cut back on this, if everybody were to get on board, we'd be able to solve this problem. And then you realize that, hey, I drive a 69 Chevelle with a 454 on a 750 Holley four barrel, and I've got 500 horsepower, and I'm going to keep driving that son of a bitch. I don't have to change anything I'm doing.
Right. Getting 1 mile to the gallon.
And then it doesn't matter.
Yeah. You can pass everything but a gas station, but but you're free.
Have you ever driven anything that has 500 horsepower?
Actually, I have. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a, oh my gosh, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know,
not at the expense of the planet.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is, and like people say, like, the world's going to end. The world's not going to end. The world's going to go on just fine.
Without us.
But we're not going to be able to live on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think the human race is going to go extinct. But we're going to lose an awful lot of people.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it kind of makes me think, but another thing, you know, kind of like health related. And again, tying it back into the whole the belief thing. You know, it's like, what could be more Christian than wearing a mask? What could be more Christian than universal healthcare? Than wanting everyone to be healthy and have access to just health. I
you can actually quote Christ directly supporting exactly these things.
Yeah. And it's a no brainer to us, right? Like I think it was Barna, that did a study. I could be wrong. It might've been Pew or somebody else, but I think it was Barna, and they were talking about the per capita, healthcare costs, and the US is twice as much as Canada.
Yeah. We pay the most for pharmaceuticals, we pay the most to our doctors. Why do we pay more than anybody else? Because our country is run by the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty ridiculous. Like when, I mean, we have,
and the insurance companies.
Yeah.
Now, so when you combine the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies and they control the oligarchy that we currently live in, well, it's no wonder that we don't have an NHS.
Yeah.
Because an NHS would eliminate both of those unnecessary things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we do have private coverage that's available to people, but everyone has a baseline. I mean, if the U.S. baseline was here, the Canadian baseline is here, and people talk about, oh, you know, Canadians go to the U.S. blah, this, that, and the other thing, and yeah, that does happen. But I live for a short time in Windsor, which is on the Detroit border. And the traffic flows just as much.
I lived for a time.
I don't live there anymore. For a short period of time, I lived there, and the traffic flow the other way was just as intense. But they weren't coming up for medical procedures; they just needed a prescription for antibiotics because they had some kind of infection, and they couldn't. Yeah,
we're trying to block Mexicans from coming up. My wife and I went to Mexico.
Oh, I've seen the post you've done. You've gone down a few times for that stuff.
Yeah, to go get dental work.
Yeah.
Because we can afford it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we can't afford it here.
Yeah. And dental is something that isn't covered under Canada's basic
That's a healthcare. Mystery to me.
Yeah,
Who the hell arbitrarily decided that dental was not medical?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
even eye care isn't covered either. Yeah. And if I take these off, I'm gonna walk into a wall.
Yeah, I've seen them do it. It's disability. True. Yeah, but oddly, you can be on government assistance in Canada. So like if in Ontario, we have something called ODSP, which is the Ontario Disability Support Program. And these are for people who have, you know, whatever kind of disability, physical, mental, whatever, where they cannot care for themselves. And so as taxpayers, we all pony up. It, you know, cost me 9 cents out of my paycheck. And, you know, but all together, we take care of these people. And they have technically better coverage than some, like I have extended benefits through work. So I get all that other stuff. And so does my wife, like the dental and eyeglasses and all that other stuff. But someone who's on a government support program actually gets better health care than someone who doesn't have benefits but works 40 hours a week, because they do get their dental and eyeglasses and everything else taken care of. And that's just what we do as a society, because we look at them and say, hey, these people can't do for themselves, so we have to take care of them too, which is oddly enough what I, again, leading back to what I said before, which is what, you know, a quote-unquote Christian nation, even though the U.S. isn't that, but what a Christian nation should want to do. You should want to pay higher taxes so that everybody gets taken care of.
Jesus did tell you to pay your taxes.
Yeah, render under Caesar. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, and also that you were supposed to give money to the poor, that you were supposed to, you know, try to heal the sick and all of this. And it was almost a decade ago. It was the first time that I was ever off this continent. I'd been to border towns in Canada and in Mexico in my youth, but the first time I was ever off this continent in a foreign country properly. I went to the a World Atheist Convention in Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in 2011. And I remember thinking when I was there, I could go to the doctor now, because I could never go to the doctor before.
Yeah.
Going to the doctor was something you only did when it was an emergency room, and it always had to be one of those free clinic kind of hospitals where you have to sit in line for like 18 hours to be seen.
Yep. It's like Chris Rock said, you had to be way past Robitussin. Yeah. But it's absolutely
true. I don't know how many people have experienced this, but I mean, I remember a number of times, you know, in my youth and in like the 80s and so forth, where I would have to take a girlfriend or whatever. If somebody in my household needs medical attention, we would have to go to whichever hospital is the free hospital.
Right.
And then you would have to sit amongst all those other people in that vast waiting room that begins to feel like an auditorium for a concert.
Yeah.
As you're waiting your turn to be seen and inspected by suspect people, right?
Who think can't even imagine what it would be like if you're in need of medical attention and you have to think about what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
Like if all these financial stresses start because you're hurt and you need medical attention.
Yeah, no. And that's my wife.
That doesn't even enter your mind. You just go get fixed.
Yeah.
My wife and I have been to a bunch of different countries, east and west. And it's a funny thing that two of her favorite cities ever are Toronto and Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both in the same country.
Yeah.
So either of us would love to move to Canada, but Canada won't take us.
What?
And Canadian customs are very strict with us.
Yeah, they
interrogating
are.
Us that we're only there to take advantage of their medical system.
If we could quote unquote sponsor you, and you could be here in 3 weeks. Well, I don't know about that with COVID, but you could be here, you know, being hyperbolic.
We can't go anywhere with COVID anymore.
but you know, technically if we were to sponsor you, you could be here quickly, but what we have to do is basically we're signing off saying, I am going to assume responsibility for you. So, you know, if you get a job, that's cool. But if you don't get a job, you are not eligible for government assistance. I have to take care of you.
What if I'm doing what I'm doing now? You know, as an activist.
Oh, no, you could totally.
As long as you're making money and you're paying taxes, you're declaring it on your taxes.
Yeah.
And paying to the government.
Yeah, all that stuff.
I love London. It's my favorite city in the world. And right up there with it is Melbourne, Australia.
It's London's expensive. Well,
London is really expensive, yeah. But it is to me the heart of the world.
It's a cool place.
I lament for everybody in my family who's never been off this continent because we're the best damn country. How do you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You've never been anywhere else.
Yeah. You have a sample size of nowhere.
Yeah, but I love when I'm in London. I can't afford anything when I'm there, but I love to be there. And Where was I going with this? I was going to make a point, and I got distracted.
Making
like
a living somewhere.
And I can't remember.
Making a living somewhere? And you were talking about making a living?
Oh, yes. They were really persnickety about how you're earning your money. I mean, going through Scottish customs is the only place where I've had more trouble than going through Canadian customs. And when I was in India, they pointed machine guns at me, and I'm still saying that Scotland was worse.
Wow.
Yeah, Scotland gave me all this. Go sit down over there until I figure out what to do with you. It was awkward going through because they interrogate the fuck out of you as to why you're in this country and how can it be that you're in this country. And they're really upset about how you earn your money. So if I had to show Scottish Customs my Patreon, right. Does that mean that you're earning money while you're here? Well, if I make a video while I'm here, technically I'm, but it's all going to this bank or whatever. It doesn't matter where the planet I am.
Yeah.
You know, it was a bear to try to explain that to Scotland. So if I were living in London, I would have this huge issue in how I earn my money.
Right.
Because I'm still going to be uploading to YouTube and getting donations from Patreon. It doesn't matter where in the world I am, but the UK gets really persnickety about that kind of shit.
Yeah, they don't particularly care when someone named Stuart goes anywhere. I can pretty much go anywhere I want and they don't give a fuck. It is very interesting. Okay.
I want to, but as soon as they see me, it's a different story.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to mention one other thing about that. People don't care where somebody named Stuart goes.
Yeah.
My wife and I have, we've thought, if I want to move someplace, I should be able to move to that place. We've argued about where we should move because she wanted to go to Iceland or no, sorry, not. She wanted to go to New Zealand for a long time. And then I wanted to move to Iceland. I fell in love with Iceland. I've been to, I've actually lost count of the number of times I've been to Iceland.
Yeah. You found a place more expensive than London. Reykjavik.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
If you get far enough away from Reykjavik.
Yeah.
You can get reasonable prices again.
Okay.
But in Reykjavik, they have charged me $32 for a club sandwich.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you buy a beer, you pay as much as you would for a six pack here. If you buy a shot of whiskey, it'll cost you the same as a bottle of whiskey here. That's the way that is.
Yeah. I've only heard the stories, but yeah.
Yeah. A couple of times, my wife and I have rented a cabin way out in the tundra. In the heart of the Golden Circle, which is right in the middle of all of where the touristy stuff is.
Yeah.
You have to rent a car and drive for 2 hours to get out to this place. And it's just a cabin sitting, it's in the middle of the tundra. I mean, it's just in the middle of nothing. Right. There's something wonderful about having to go so far out of your way to be out of everyone's way.
Right.
To be out in the middle of nowhere. And we're there to see the Northern Lights. We're going to have plenty of opportunity because the sun doesn't come up until 10:45 and it's down by 3:30.
Yeah. Speaking of being in the middle of nowhere, you were recently in Africa digging up dinosaurs.
Not dinosaurs.
Okay, yeah, I am.
We were there. We were in a Permian exposure, and that is pre-dinosaurs.
Okay.
Although part of the Karoo does reach into the Triassic. It doesn't reach... Dinosaurs show up late in the Triassic. So the Karoo exposure doesn't actually include dinosaurs at all. I don't think there are any dinosaurs in the Karoo at all. If there are, they're the very earliest ones.
Right. I think you were, it said, I think one, the, one of the videos you talked, you said you were looking for theropods. Am I correct or am I wrong? Am I fucking that up too?
Theropods would be dinosaurs.
Oh, okay.
We were there for therapsids.
Therapsids, pardon me. Yeah, okay. I know it was a th word. It was a th word.
We were there for something that used to be called mammal-like reptiles. So imagine you happen across this animal and you can't tell, is it a lizard or is it a dog?
Oh, okay.
if those are the two choices...
Then it'd
be easy to tell, but I guess not always. It's
surprisingly more difficult than you think. Yeah, yeah. Because there are like Procyonosuchus, one of my favorite animals ever. Or Procyonosuchus is it's a dog crocodile.
Okay. Like dog as in digigrade dog?
Well, no, it's not digigrade. It's definitely plantigrade and still has five toes.
Right.
But the thing is it looks like if you were going to make a dog out of a crocodile, it would be this.
Okay. So plantigrade, so it couldn't run as fast. So you might
no,
have
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about things that still have splayed legs and all of that, but that there's minor adaptations, and it's a weird thing to look at this and realize that this is not a reptile in the old like 1800s sense of what a reptile is. It's clearly not a mammal, but it's on its way to being mammal. Yeah. This is not on its way to being dinosaur. This is not on its way to being crocodile. This is on its way to being mammal.
See, when you say dog crocodile, all I think is a dog with even bigger fucking teeth running at me quickly. So I just want to know I can outrun it. That's all I care about. Can I run faster than this thing?
Yeah, there's a couple that would be of severe concern. One that I found while I was there was called Titanosuchus, which is not everything is named very beautifully. Titanosuchus would imply, if you know the original language, it would imply that you're talking about a gigantic crocodile. But in fact, what we're talking about is something that is more on its way to being mammal.
Okay.
Though, if you ever met one in the wild, you would not think this is a mammal. Mm. This would look more like a dinosaur than, you know, for common layman's experience, people would think that they're looking at a dinosaur, but it's very different.
It's but it was still like warm-blooded and stuff
like that. Well, it's like if you looked at a Dimetrodon. Okay, most people look at a Dimetrodon and they think that's a reptile. It looks like our old conventional concept of a reptile, but it's not.
Right.
Okay. It's a synapsid. It's on its way to being mammal.
Interesting. Okay. So now just to break into something a little more... fun. Not that we haven't been having fun. So if you, a couple of years ago, I sent you a little bottle of spice.
What was the name that you put on that one?
I don't remember, but it was, no, I like, I had a little, we had an address label and I guess through delivery, it got kind of smeared. So you called us smarts on the YouTube video, which was funny because it was Stuart, but it was smart. So that was funny. But this little town of Bowmanville, which is about, I don't know, Dean, if we put it in miles, what is it, about 15 miles from where we are?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So about 15 miles from where we are, maybe not even that far. And in the spring, they have Maple Fest, and in the fall, they have Apple Fest. And I get to argue with the little Presbyterian women who make their apple fritters. They have these tents set up and stuff like that where, you know, they sell their wares and it's all local stuff, supports the local economy. That's cool. I like doing that. And so I go up and I see this person who has, you know, marinades and barbecue sauces. And then there's the little thing of spices. And so I go up and I'm like, what's the spiciest thing you got? Because all I've seen are videos of you going, well, okay, that's not really spicy. Oh, that's, you know, that's more sweet. And I'm like, fuck, like you're looking at the things and you're reading off the Scoville scale. I'm like, this is going to like, I need asbestos underwear. and you seem to just take it just fine. But, so I find this thing, the spiciest stuff that I can find. And I sent it down to you. And then you put this video and you, like at one point you had said something like, oh, you know, my tongue's going numb, but your kid is on there going on a hunk of pizza. And he's like, this isn't that bad. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why aren't you watering this down with 80 gallons of something? Is it the heat or do you actually enjoy the flavor of this stuff?
With ghost pepper, it's genuinely the flavor.
Okay.
Now, ghost pepper is only a million Scoville.
Only.
Only. Yeah. Yeah.
Carolina Reaper is 2 million. And I don't know if you've ever, I've eaten the, you pop in the jalapeno and you get a raw jalapeno, not pickled. Because when it's pickled, although they taste better, the non-pickled ones are much hotter. So pop in a jalapeno, pull out the stem, chew it up. I remember as a kid, young man, thinking that was hot.
Sure.
I remember getting blisters from eating jalapenos that way.
Okay.
I remember, again, as a young man, moving on to habanero. Pop the whole thing in, pop it up, chew it up, and thinking I'm going to die. Yeah. Thinking this was going to cause me a heart attack.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could, I wouldn't want to go to the scorpion peppers and the naga peppers and do that old routine. I've seen other people in chili eating contests do that. I don't know if I could do that. But I have hit my limit on a couple of times. And I'll go ahead and tell one of these stories. There's a place here in Dallas called Monkey Noodle on Greenville Avenue. People in Dallas know where Greenville is. It's in the party area. I'm sorry, not Greenville, Deep Ellum.
Okay.
Deep Ellum. So I'm in Deep Ellum, and I have this, and I remember having turned up to 11 because that's how you order it. It's called up to 11.
Okay, sure. Yeah. The Spinal Tap reference. Yeah.
And I did this on video where I have the noodles. I'm like, you know what? I'm disappointed because this is not whooping my ass. I was expecting it to be hot. It's not that bad. And then after I'm done with the noodles, I drank the broth.
Okay.
Like an idiot.
Okay.
And I made it to my car, which is a Jeep with the doors off and the roof off. And
oh, this was recent. Thing. This is in the Zombies?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and I remember just bracing against it going, can I drive in this condition? Do we need to go back? I've hit the Carolina Reaper will actually take me over that limit, depending on how you do it. There's a place here in Dallas where in Garland, there's a place called Good Friends. And they do a Carolina Reaper wings. And I remember the first time I went down there, they would only bring you two wings. That's it.
Yeah. We're not wasting this shit on you if you can't eat it.
I remember eating those and telling the waitress, you know, I'm not impressed. Bring me something that will impress me. And the chef comes out and says, I made this recipe for you. And so ever since then, he has to come out and visually inspect that it is me.
Okay.
Before he will bring out Fallout.
Wow.
And that's what it says on the box, Fallout.
Okay.
So I got five wings from him.
Okay.
And they're so dripping with Carolina Reaper, there are seeds on the wings.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So I had two of them. I couldn't finish all five. I had two of them. And I had to bring the other three home, and I felt whooped. I've never hit a limit like this. I was whooped. So I had one of those wings the next day out of the refrigerator. I just took it out of the refrigerator. I'm just going to man up, chaw down on this thing, and be done with it. Cold. Right out of the fridge. Eat it up fast. I spent an hour and 20 minutes in a very bad state.
Really?
Wondering if I needed to induce vomiting or what. Again, am I going to fucking die?
Wow.
And the next day, I have a handful of Imperial Stouts, which go very well with really hot food.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've got some Imperial Stout, and I warm it up, and I go on wing number four, and I have a little bit. Drink a little bit of stout, taking it easy, and I finished it. Finished it good. Did the next wing right after that, and now I felt better. But every time, people would show up, visitors from out of town, people come in from New York saying, you know, say, hey, I want something that'll really kick my ass. Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
But I don't do the Carolina Reaper for the flavor. I do the Carolina Reapers, these wings, for the equivalent of, you know, the Rams butting horns.
Okay.
So my daughter brings her significant other, father of my grandchild,
right,
to introduce this guy to me. And I'm like, well, you know, we being the guys, we have to do the Rams horns thing. So we're going to.
That's right.
Yeah, we're going to my wing place. I give him full cred. He had two wings just like I did.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And we're both at the table going, crying. And, yeah, that was good, man.
Yeah. Yeah, the big night for me is like, whoa, was that the spicy ketchup?
I gotta give people an understanding of what this is. I mean, this is when I was driving home and I had to pull over and just put my hands on the hood of the car and just try to remember how to breathe.
Yeah, that doesn't and that's why I asked the question. I mean, like from a flavor perspective, like for example, like I love I like Thai food. But you know, and I like curry, but I like it for the flavor. And be, you know, like no heat, like I, or I'll go to this, there used to, I'm not sure if it's still there, but in Toronto, there's this place called Albert's Real Jamaican Food. And some of the best Jamaican food you, you will ever have in your life. And
you have to go to Canada for Jamaican food.
Yeah. Yeah. Super, super good. And you know, but I walk in there, I'm like, it was like, and he's like, no, you know, no, no offense intended, but you see how white I am. Right. Treat me with the gentle hands, you know, I need. And they, you know, and they take out, you know, they have the little tray that, that basically says, you know, give this to Michael. And I'll have that. It has nice flavor, but it doesn't have any of the heat. And I just, other than wasabi, which I've heard people say is not, doesn't count, you know, which you'd get, you know, a little bit of sushi and stuff like that. But other than wasabi, there's, I can't take it. I can't take it.
Okay, I get that. My wife and I have had incredible, super spicy plates. We went to Phoenix once upon a time, and we found ourselves in an Indian place where we got their super hot curry. And the guy couldn't believe that we were able to taste the flavors of all of the ingredients. We're asking, like, what type of mushrooms is this that I'm tasting in here? Because I'm like, how do you taste anything? It was hot.
Yeah.
That it's hot. We could still taste it. It was personally embarrassing for me to come across something that was so hot that I thought it was going to kill me.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've encountered that a couple of times.
I've had like the suicide on the menu a couple of times, and it burns your lips before it's even in your mouth.
Yeah.
And it's no longer enjoyable.
My wife and I were in Manhattan. And a friend of ours took us out to an Indian restaurant. I wish I could remember the name of the Indian restaurant. But one of the things on their menu, you know how they have sometimes the peppers, you know, maybe one, two, or three peppers.
Oh, sure. Right?
Yeah, well, suddenly it jumps to six. There's no four peppers. There's no five peppers. It just goes from three to six. And my wife sees the six peppers. She goes, oh, well, I'll have that. Because, you know, of course. And the waitress said, no, you can either enjoy your meal or you can have this.
Oh, wow. Jesus.
So she ordered the vindaloo, both for both of us. We got the vindaloo, hot as you got the vindaloo, but she wanted a side dish of the sphal, phaal.
Okay.
And we had it mixed with the rice and everything, and both of us have a spoonful of this, and we're like, God damn.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It was. It's always embarrassing to hit your limit like that.
I'm not afraid of my limit. I embrace my limit. I'm very embracing of my limit. Okay, so now to turn to something a little more serious. There's you done got an election coming up, and we are terrified up here.
Yeah,
we are terrified. And
believe
I know
in the me, I am too.
And I know in the past you've identified as a Bernie supporter. And yeah, like if
I've always loved Bernie whenever he goes on the campaign trail, it's like,
yeah,
America needs this guy.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if Bernie was in Canada, he'd be the leader of the NDP.
Without question. Other countries really love Bernie. Unfortunately, yeah. My country hasn't figured shit out yet.
Yeah. So I guess if you were to look at a glass half full, how do you see, what is it? I think it's, is it November 4th? It's a,
I thought it was November 11th.
Okay, but. Maybe. Okay, so anyway, whatever it is, how do you see the day after? Other than the mushroom cloud from the movie, The Day After. but how do you?
Every poll I've seen has shown Biden in the lead. Now I'm upset with the DNC that we have to choose Biden.
Yeah.
The most milquetoast candidate. The Democratic Party could have.
And fucking creepy. Like, let's not shit ourselves. He's fucking creepy, too.
Yeah. I mean, here's a guy who said he's not going to change anything. That he's only going to run for one term, and that's it. And that he's not going to do a fucking thing. So we went from change you can believe in to I don't believe I'm going to change.
Yeah.
But at least he's not going to keep lighting fires and burning shit down.
Yeah,
at least he's not going to destroy the planet and the Constitution deliberately.
Yeah, it is interesting.
There's enough people, I think, to realize what an abject fucking failure and incompetent boob our current mango moron is in charge. This guy has been against like every provision of the First Amendment and many other provisions within the Constitution, including most recently the post office. He swore to defend and support the Constitution, and he's been against every bit of it. He wants to establish religion. He wants to have a prohibition against the free exercise of religion. He wants to condemn free speech. He wants to condemn the free press. He has already done his best to condemn the peaceable assembly to air our grievances.
Yeah.
And he wants an authoritarian rule. I mean, I don't see where people are hesitant anymore to call this guy fascist. What part of fascism has he not already met?
And didn't he just say a QAnon? They love their country and they love me, which I like.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like they asked him about the whole QAnon conspiracy nuts, and he goes, "Well, they like me very much, so I like that." Yeah, and they love this country.
And when narcissism is your only defining characteristic,
that would
make sense, because there's not a good thing I can say about Trump other than that he's not Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, they're both in the same boat, for sure.
That man has never done anything good in his life.
Yeah.
Even before he was elected. When has he ever done anything that was defensively good? I mean, there's been a couple of times, maybe a handful of times, that he was forced begrudgingly into doing the right thing and protested. But the rest of the time, he never had a good idea. He never followed through. He never did anything for good reasons.
Yep.
It's amazing when you meet somebody. I mean, I could say something good about Nixon.
Sure, yeah.
I could say something good about both of the Bush presidents.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to find somebody that you can't say a good thing about.
Yeah, it is hard to look at someone and to have to come to the realization that they are devoid of anything positive.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's nothing defensible in this guy at all. He has a fourth grade intellect. He doesn't understand what time zones are. He doesn't understand why time zones exist. He doesn't understand anything about history. He doesn't understand that they were not airports in the 1700s during the Revolutionary War. He understands fuck all about anything. He is the dumbest fucker I've ever heard of. And he's president?
And he's president of the United States.
Expelled planes are actually invisible.
Yeah. It was interesting. And it's always kind of baffled me, like the unbelievable hubris that he has. But he gets – things just seem to work out for him. You know, he's like –
He got representatives of the Navajo Nation to endorse him. Trump.
Yeah.
Who has done everything he can against Indians, including trying to take away their reservations so that he can command their casinos.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, how does somebody endorse a guy like, how can you be a Native American and be paid enough to endorse that guy?
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, people have to have principles at some point.
I'm wondering when the Republicans are going to actually show that. I mean, like we've got the Lincoln Project, and they're doing some good stuff. But I mean,
and the Midas Touch, and Republicans Against Trump, but and most of them one other group I can't remember the name
still,
of
are still backing him. I mean,
yeah, but Trump's got Mr. Pillow.
what Trump has is roughly a third of the country.
Yeah, but that third is
people in the country, but he's got a third of them.
But they are diehard sycophants.
All the Republicans that are backing him, I'm assuming that he has like a dossier of all the dirty, wrong shit they've ever done.
Yeah.
No, he's just found very stupid, reactionary people.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a funny thing. I mean, I know people who vote Republican. One of my closest friends in the world for a long time became a Republican Party delegate, and then we parted ways. When he started defending Trump, I'm like, you can't defend that guy. When you said that he's never done anything wrong, here's my list. He's never done anything that you could prosecute as illegal. Here's my list.
Yeah.
Of things we've proven already he's done that are prosecutable and illegal. And we know that when Trump is out of office, he is going to be indicted on things that if Pence were to somehow take over, Trump still cannot be pardoned mm-hmm. for these crimes.
Yeah.
The state of New York is going to begin that volley. And Trump will be prosecuted for these crimes. Just like George W. Bush should have been. And not just so that people understand that I'm not completely partisan, I'm really not. I voted for Bill Clinton, or I was supportive of Bill Clinton and when he first ran.
Yeah.
But by the end, I absolutely hated him. I was completely disgusted by him. And I think that the thing that the height of my disgust was when he had Rosa Parks at a DNC convention and he forced her to stand up when she didn't want to stand up.
Yeah.
He said that, you know, she can go on and sit there and that'd be just fine. But then you see the camera changes and you see the Secret Service hauling her ass to her feet.
Yeah. It was interesting. I think it was, again, Christopher Hitchens, who wrote a book about the Clintons, No One Left to Lie To. And that was that was kind of a tell, like on par with missionary position.
And I don't believe in dichotomous thinking, just so everyone knows. I mean, George W. Bush was a war criminal.
Without question. Yeah.
And I can call out the specifics, but he also didn't embarrass his family with ridiculous sexual controversies to humiliate his wife and kids.
Yeah.
Like Trump always only ever does.
And that's another really funny thing is that how these, the unbelievable moral flexibility or malleability of these Christian right Republicans who can overlook the, you know, five kids from three different baby mamas and all the and porn stars and this and that and how they could be because he's their guy, and as long as he does what they want, they will there's nothing they won't forgive. They've shown this. There's nothing they won't forgive.
How is that possible when the man is an absolute moron? He doesn't know anything. He lies constantly. Mm-hmm. Oh, he tells it like it is. No, he tells it like it ain't.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know how it is. He's completely oblivious.
Yes, he is.
I've never seen a creature like him. He is beneath reprehensible. I mean, there's, I've said before, there's not a good thing I can say about him. There's a ton of shit I can say that's bad. And it's amazing to me that anybody ever supported his ass. How are they still doing it?
Yeah. There's so many people that, like, they go to the Republican conventions and they talk to these people and they're like, yeah, he's the greatest thing ever. It's like, he hasn't done a single thing good for the town that you live in. You're worse off.
Let's go through the list of everything that he did. Find something that wasn't evil.
Yeah.
In everything he did.
Yeah.
No, everything he's done against the environment, everything he's done against the economy. Yes, I said against the economy because the economy would have still collapsed even without COVID because he tried to borrow his way into success with the stupid tax break that only benefits the 1%, right?
Yeah.
I mean, most of the majority of people on the lower ends end up paying more taxes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was everything he's done has been a failure. Everything he's done has been self-serving. And he's lied about everything. Oh, it's not going to help me. Yes, it fucking did help you. Yeah. The thing is, you said it was going to help everybody else, and it didn't. Yeah. It only helped you.
Yeah.
So I don't know why you guys brought up Trump, because you know I'm going to rant.
No, it's okay. I was waiting for that vein in your head to pop out, and it finally did. So now that the vein has popped out, we can move on. So we're just about at an hour and a half, which is typical for us, but I don't want to keep you too much longer. But the one thing that I want to make sure we get to is I want you to put your information out there because everybody listening to this, we don't ask you for money. Go give it to Aaron. Aaron, how can people reach out to you and support you?
Well, if Patreon is how I get most of my support. I mean, I do have a PayPal and I do accept donations there. And I really sincerely do need all the help I can get yet. Because there's a lot of people that make a lot more money than me that are on YouTube. That even people who have fewer subscribers than I do that make more money than I do because something about how they're commercially minded and I'm kind of not.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, I'm back in school and I'm in my last semester and I'm struggling to try to cover everything. So I really do need all the support I can get.
Yeah, I was looking at your Patreon just briefly, and it looked like you had somewhere in the neighborhood of 800 patrons or something like that.
Close to that. Yeah. Not quite, but yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, if you look at something like that, or, you know, everybody listening to this, you know, it on the YouTube side, you know, if everybody just gives you a buck, like if everybody just gives you a buck, you'll be sitting prettier than you are. And it's funny. And I say, you know, understanding that a pat on the back is only a foot away from a kick in the ass. I patronize very few people. Like I can count them all on just a few fingers, but I'm happy to say that you are one of them, because of the work that you do. And because I personally see the value in the work that you do. And now I'm talking to everybody else. And I know that if you go out there and I know that if you actually watch some of these videos, consume some of Aaron's content, and then I dare you to send me an email, ca@rogers.com, or reach out on some other way and tell me that you didn't find any value in what he's putting out there. So.
Well, thank you very much for that. I've been a full-time activist since 2014. I have done my best to be the hardest working activist in the atheist movement. That has been difficult since I tried to go back to school, which was almost a year ago. And I'm very close to having a Bachelor of Science in Anthropology from the School of Human Evolution and Social Change at Arizona State University's Institute for Human Origins.
Say that three times fast.
Yeah. Yeah, but unfortunately, like I said, it is expensive and it's tough to cover it. And I don't live a lavish lifestyle. It's funny to me when I see other people, other YouTubers who seem to base their channel on how they spend their donors' money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not sure how do you get away with it? Why do people donate just to show how lavish you can live off their funds? Yeah. But I'm trying to do something activist. I'm trying to support secular science education, as of course secular policies, really doing the best that I can to conflict against the religious right who definitely want to own and control everything.
Yeah, without question.
It certainly seems like people's priorities are out of whack when somebody like you is struggling and then somebody else on YouTube who just spends money like it's nothing is getting more money. I always thought that the Nobel Prize should be given out at an event that's like the Oscars. It should be televised. It everybody should want to watch it.
Yeah,
why not? Right? Yeah.
Like that's where our interests should be. We should be celebrating those people, not people who pretend to be other people.
Yeah. And the one last thing I'll say before we let you go is I think it's a testament to Aaron's moral code, because I can tell you one thing, and I think I can say this with absolute certainty, that if he was to toss away his moral compass and make a YouTube video tomorrow morning saying that he had found Jesus, the fucking money would roll in like nobody's business. Right. Everyone on the fucking planet would want you on their show, and they would pay you to be there, and you would be held up as this beacon. You'd be the biggest fucking other than someone like Charles Darwin, like you'd be the biggest fucking trophy in the case. Here's the guy who stood up and said, your God doesn't exist. And now he loves Jeebus.
You know, the first time I said that myself was in 1988, long before I became before I really even realized I was atheist myself.
Yeah.
I said that I could make a shit ton of money if I could just forsake my ethics and become an evangelical minister.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Or well, like again, like you said in your book, just keep telling yourself it's Jesus until you believe it. There you go. But I think on that note, I think we've taken up enough of your time. You've been very generous with it, and we definitely appreciate it. So everybody go to youtube.com/AaronRaw. We'll make sure we put a link in the description for this podcast, as well as a link to your Patreon, so people can find it easier and support a truly worthwhile cause. It's a bottle of water, guys. Like, honestly, it's we're not talking about that big a fucking deal. And if you can, you know, just, you know, don't don't give any money to us. You know, the foul-mouthed Canadian and his reasonable friend don't need any money, or don't need any money. But yeah, I don't bathe in gold bars. Anyway, so we'll say our goodbyes here, and then we'll disconnect, and we'll say a proper goodbye after I hit the stop button. I think, Dean, I think we've gotten in enough trouble for this week. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's about enough.
Yeah, an hour and 39 minutes. So we'll be back at you again very soon with another episode. We got to talk about all the dumb shit Christians do, so we got to get through some of this news. I seriously have a 2-inch fucking pile on my desk. But we will be back at you again very soon. But until that time, I have been Michael.
I have been Dean.
I have been and still am Aaron.
There you go. And we shall see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been the CA. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please drop by the iTunes store and give us a review and subscribe to get the latest episodes as soon as they release. Just a reminder, the views expressed on this broadcast are solely those of the hosts and are for entertainment purposes only. Never take advice from two guys expressing an opinion on a podcast. That's just silly. See you back here soon.